Hello, Kansas City. Hello, America. And hello to the world. Welcome to episode 5 of the Heart and Goal podcast. My name is Nate Bucati. It's great to have you with us again. We've got one of our returning co-hosts, U.S. Men's National Team and Sporting Kansas City legend Graham Zusi's with us. What's up, Graham? How are you?
What's up, Nathan? I'm doing very well.
we've got a cheering section today as well. And we get to unveil another one of the members of our all-star co-host round table group, Roger Espinoza. We're talking about a guy that won 3 trophies with Sporting Kansas City, won an FA Cup, played in the World Cup for Honduras.
Don't say all the trophies.
Yeah, we don't want to give away. Yeah, we might have trivia questions later. But you're part of the show, Roger. This is your first time. Welcome, man. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. You know, this show needed some more publicity. Needed to get famous.
So
I decided to invite my wife to this place.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, we need it. We need that.
Okay. So you're the host. First of all, you need to get a little closer to your microphone.
There you go. Can you hear me now? There you go. Yeah. Now. My English not very bueno too. So we got it.
It's going to be a bilingual podcast today. Yeah. So you get to do the introduction. You're one of the hosts of the show. Introduce our special guest today, please.
Here it is. The special guest is my wife. I felt like the show needed to get a little more publicity, needed to get more famous. So I got the special one here.
Lo Labonta. You're supposed to say the name and everything too, you know.
My wife.
No introduction needed.
Thank you, Susie. Introduction needed. Everybody knows.
And Borat Espinoza over here. This is my wife. She plays soccer very good. Lo, what's up? How are you?
Hi, guys. Just thought I'd come here supporting all of you because I think I met all of you, not in the Wizards time because I came a little bit after that, but that's probably how all three of you met.
Yeah, that would not have been good if I knew you during the Wizard days.
Oh my God, I was probably in high school.
That would have been awkward. And also, I don't know what kind of guy Roger was at. He was probably much more refined as a gentleman by the time that, you know, he came into your life, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and his long hair was cut. So that's why we started talking then.
What would you have thought? What did you think of the long hair? You've seen the pictures.
I've seen the pictures. He looks very intense. Just a different guy then. And then I met the man, Roger Espinoza.
Rico Suave back then.
Gerardo. I remember that song.
What was the movie that we always
Apocalypto.
Used to?
Apocalypto. Yep. I'll tell a story about that one real quick. When Roger was telling me about all the red cards he's ever had in life, which I think is crazy because he's like the kindest gentleman ever off the field. On the field, he told me he got his first red card by saying, like, have you ever seen the movie Apocalypto? And I was like, oh my God, that's how you are on the field?
So you murdered someone.
Yeah.
I decided to watch the movie right before we played a game.
Oh, bad idea, yeah.
Danny, it was just...
Did you do that all the time or just one time?
That was the only one time. I was too hyped for that movie, and then I got the red card, and I'm like, all right. This needs to
amazing.
Stop. We want this to be the type of show that appeals to everybody in town, not just the diehard soccer fans. If you're excited about the World Cup, you're curious about it at all, and you want to learn about the amazing history that we have here in town, this is the place to do it. We've got the greatest list of hosts that you could ever imagine with Matt Beasler, Graham Zusi, Benny Failhaber, Roger Espinoza. We're going to be having great guests like Lo Labonta, who is a U.S. Women's National Team player. And I don't need me to tell you who she is, the star for the KC Current and multimedia and all that stuff. So we're celebrating Kansas City a little bit, guys, when we do this. So I think we could start there with them a little bit, Graham, because this is that's where the connection happened between the two of you in Kansas City.
Yep. Kansas City has been great to me.
So tell me what Kansas City means to you really quickly. Roger.
It means a lot. It's a city that gave me the opportunity, to be a professional soccer player, to grow as a human, and to meet my wife. So for me, it's a very special place that I continue to call home.
I've heard a couple different versions of this story of how you guys met. You guys want to, I'll take turns because I'm sure it'll be different, but... Raj, I'll let you go first.
I think we agree on everything. The only part we disagree is the social media part. Who contact first became known as DMs.
Is this a DM situation?
Yeah, it's a DM situation. I'm going to say I posted my dog. She liked the picture. That's her saying, welcome You can speak to me now.
You are allowed to speak to me. You may enter.
So she made the first move.
Okay, but you guys had met before this moment.
Yes.
She didn't just randomly like one of your Instagram pictures.
No, briefly we have met.
Okay. Yeah.
Briefly we have met, but we didn't really like, I don't know, we didn't click, I guess.
So do you agree with this part of the story, Lo, that you liked one of his pictures of his dog first?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. The legend, Chulo, the English bulldog.
R.I.P.
The coolest dog ever, and literally liked the photo, and now he tells everyone, I slid in his DMs. I was like, I just liked a photo of a dog, and yeah, that was his way to come and get me.
So who slid into whose DMs then?
She did.
Because
I think she...
I don't know. That's...
She liked the picture, but back then, I believe it came through DMs.
Roger's like, it came by pigeon. That's how I knew she was. She was into me. Yeah. If that's his way, then that's fine. But yeah.
And then we met again through friends.
And you had the courage together to actually talk to her this time because of the...
No, the first time we said hello. We said hello. Yeah, there was a lot of people around. And then the second time, yeah. Yeah, I never have a problem to say hi to someone.
Right, but this is a little different. I mean, this is one of somebody you're actually kind of interested in.
Yeah, but then I'm like, okay. You start listening to her and you're like, all right, I actually like this person. Wait, I'm falling in love with this person. And then...
So how...
let me ask her.
What was your first interaction together, just the two of you and not in a group setting? Who initiated that?
I think it was always group. It never like alone.
It was always like group setting. Like he was the one that went out the most on his on sporting. Oh, me for Kansas, yeah, me for Kansas City. So it was always like the initial group setting, and then both of us were like, hey, let's continue this party.
I live right in Westport.
Yeah.
It's the king of Westport.
We can hang out, yeah. But other than that, I mean, she was roasting me all the time.
Naturally.
And then so it's just like, yeah, what I need to do is for her not to roast me anymore. It didn't. It went the opposite.
Still working on that part.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So did the fact that you both were soccer players have anything to do with why you guys met each other?
Yeah.
It was our teams that introduced us. It was a team setting.
Yeah. T, Dom Dwyer, Sidney LaRue were part of all that. And if I don't think we would have met at all. We're far away from each other.
Was that like a positive for you? And like, hey, he's into the same thing I'm into. We're soccer players. Did that matter? Were you, you know, like, yeah, this... Or did you know much about him, you know, as a player and all that?
Well, fun part about that story is obviously FCKC was the original version of the Kansas City soccer team here. And my coach was Vlatko Ananovsky at that time as well. And he knew I was going to sporting games. Did not know why. Just thought I was going with Sid LaRue. And he goes, when you go, I need you to watch this player. You want to play like this player. He wins every tackle. He has great passes. And in my head, I'm like, no way he knows that I'm dating this guy now.
That's amazing.
And he goes, I need you to watch Roger Espinoza. I like nearly flipped the table. I was like, no way he's hyping up this guy that I'm dating. And yeah, so then I really locked in and watched his game and then started critiquing his game. And then, that we just... kind of fell into playing the same position, same style, but he's lefty, I'm righty, and the rest is history.
So what I just heard, Raj, is that she emulated her entire career off of you.
100%. That's...
You heard it first.
You know what, though? It's really interesting that you bring that up, because when we were getting ready to have this conversation, we were discussing that there are some really interesting parallels between your careers. You guys both obviously played for national teams. You both came to a club that built a new stadium and rebranded itself and kind of redefined what the sport would look like in this country. Have you guys discussed those types of parallels? It's kind of bizarre, isn't it, that you guys have both had some of these similar stories?
Yeah, we have. I think that I was a bit lucky just because Kansas City Wizards and Sporting Kansas City was a very stable team. The Kansas City... KCFC at first was not very stable. Then they move, then they come back, and then they just... So it gets difficult for a player to get in the rhythm of playing well and, you know, different coaches, different stuff. So I was pretty lucky in that part. But you could see that she had all the tools to become who she is now. It's just that it was very hard for any player during that time. And so when they make it into the finals in 22, and then all of that starts coming out. So it's, I feel like the conversations were there. It's just she needed that continuation of things to become to that level. But there was no doubt that I knew, we knew that once she got that, she was going to be able to be very successful.
And then you started going to her games and scouting her to play like...
Exactly. Yeah. The red cards went away.
Oh my God. Red
cards. That story.
I can't. I think it's fascinating that he lived a soccer career and now I'm kind of living it. And so when I come home and bring up, say, issues with our Players Association or CBA that we're really trying to fight for, he's lived it. So he helps me come home, advise me on all that. And our league is still growing. Right now, MLS is what we're trying to strive to be. So I think having those conversations at home helps me stay grounded. I'm not just coming home and complaining. We're coming out with solutions at the end of these conversations. And he's lived it. Zeus, you've lived it as well. So honestly, these two have been like my advisors my whole career in Kansas City. And like we've trained, the three of us have trained in preseason, offseason during COVID. So I've just been fortunate enough to look up to these guys in their careers and know that I can lean on them when I need advice or help in my career still.
Is it true that you kicked both of their asses in the crossbar challenge when you worked out?
That's the only challenge I think that I could potentially compete with them in, because like they're running, they can run laps around me. These two push each other so hard, but it gets to crossbar and I'm like, oh, this is it. This is where I compete.
I know, and we're trying to make take the ball as far as we can. So we're like, all right, she can't. She probably won't be here.
It still didn't work. I let that slip before you guys got here. But I was saying that we would, especially during COVID times when we had to work out ourselves, the three of us would go find an empty field, run a bunch of fitness, and then always end with the crossbar challenge. And Lo always kicked our ass. It was infuriating. But that's a good little segue into both your guys's seasons. Rog, you guys are a couple games into yours. Lo, you guys are kicking off here super soon. I'll start with you. A couple questions. One, what has it been like with the new coach, Chris Armas? And two, you guys have kind of set the bar in terms of really success as an organization. How can you maintain that with, you've made several changes to the roster. Some really great additions. You've lost some bigger players as well. Who do you see kind of filling in those gaps, both like a young and up and come player or an established player coming in? What are you looking forward to in this season?
Yeah, so two parts to that question. The first one with the hiring of Chris, I was actually in national team when this happened, and the big PR guy that's been with the national team for decades came to me and was like, this is going to be so good for you because I think you and Chris were actually very similar players. Mm. Chris was a six. Chris is a high energy player. He's small. And that immediately just hyped me up to play for him. I think having that edge on the sideline as a coach is something maybe we needed to push us, you know, to finally lift that trophy, because we have the strategy, the tactics, everything with Vlacco, and he's still there.
Yeah.
So we still have all the good pieces. I think Chris now coming in, bringing that edge and experience, because he was a player, he played at all the top levels as well, I think is going to be huge for us. And then with all the other pieces that we're adding in, obviously, shout out to all the women that were here before, you know, those players are always going to be my best of friends. We had two of the best seasons together. Like, we couldn't have done it without them. So shout out them. But now they're gone. So now let's talk about the new and the people are here that's going to be battling with us every day. We have a completely, I would say, our rookie class, we have one in every single position. So we're pretty balanced with bringing in some youth. I think all of them are almost like 6 foot, if not taller. So we have some height. I'm like, all these people walking, I'm like, we have beasts coming in. Like, we're going to be good on corners for sure. There's one there. And then we have one of the biggest trades that we made is bringing in Croy Bethune, who Roger and I have talked about watching her. She is unreal. As a rookie, she had the most assists. She got rookie of the year, midfielder of the year as a rookie. And she only played like half the season. Wow. She unfortunately had an injury, but her vision, like if you think of Dabinia on our team, you have that also in Croy. Just she has a left foot as well. So our attack, you know, still with Temwa Cooper, is going to be unreal. Not much of our defense changed. So I'm hyped. I'm stoked for the season. I think the best thing about us being so good these last 2 years is we've set a standard, not just for us, but for the fans and the city as well. That's what they expect. They expect lots of goals. Chris came in, says that's what they expect. We're going to give them that. So every time he talks about our game plan and our season, I get hyped and I'm like, can we start now? Can we blow the whistle now?
I know that it's not exactly the same, but there's more parallels I see to what these guys did with those teams in 11 and 12 that you knew they were good enough to win, but they just didn't get over the hump in the playoffs. And then obviously in 2013, they did. And those guys played an in-your-face, exciting style that the fans could really feel like they were attached to. So I'm curious, like from a mindset standpoint, when you have had those two really good regular seasons, but it didn't end the way that you wanted, what's that motivation like? You know, what's the mindset like going in? You kind of talked about keeping the standard, but I guess how excited are you and the team to just get back out there and know that there's one more step to take?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. We had to go through, you know, those two season-ending losses in the playoffs to be like, oh, get that experience, but now we're bitter. We're angry. We're not just doing like our goals, celebrations, everything. We're getting the ball. We're bringing it back to half, putting it down and going down your throat again. I think we just have to have, you know, that little more edge and experience and gamesmanship, especially to win those playoff games.
Damn, I want to get back in the field after that.
No kidding.
Roger, we could touch on, you know, Graham mentioned it too. You guys were a couple games into your season now. And it's a big transition time right now. So much change, and there's still change coming to the roster, but from the top to the bottom, and you're a guy that's known the organization for so long. Do you feel like, do you feel like it's a good role to have to be a little bit of a link to the past, but also while looking forward, I guess, what's that experience been like for you?
I absolutely love it because at some point I was a young player, and we needed the same attention that these kids need now. You know, the staff was a lot smaller when Zeus and I started, but we needed a lot of attention. We needed a lot of role models, a lot of people who can help with our development. And I think how soccer has grown in America and in Kansas City, these kids like need it. We have a lot of great players, and we're just starting again. And the new generation is here, and hopefully those kids can become the same or better than what we did. And you know, that's what the city is all about, and hopefully we get to that.
Yeah, you talk about that kind of next generation, and some of our really successful teams, there was a huge huge youth movement in terms of kind of like taking over the team. Do you see that coming closer with this new group of kids? And what do you think it'll take with them or new additions to kind of put them over the hump?
Yeah, I think that this first two games, you got to see a lot of young kids. And to see them, they need time to play. They need games. They need all that. The club is going to sign guys, but right now we don't have them. And so these kids get to play, and as they start seeing them, you're like, oh, this guy's actually doing pretty good in the game. This other guy's doing well. What can I bring around them so they can be successful? Now we have the academy system, so you have to bring players from there. And that's the reason, you know, you have the academy. You want to grow soccer in America, and that's what it takes. You want kids to get that development. And so for me, but at the same time, I'm going to say they needed time. They need time just like me and you did.
Right.
Let's not forget, we had a lot of problems when we were were coming up in the team. We lost a lot of games, but later on, we went for almost a decade. We were successful. And for me, success is not always winning championships. You know, it's how the player grows, how the club is doing, you know, making the playoffs. You know, at the end of the year, only one team wins, right? Yeah. It makes it. But you got to see how the club and how you are bringing the community together. And Sporting did that. And the club is rebuilding that again. And I hope that we can live another good decade sometime in the near future.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you mentioned that. I think what people forget sometimes is that kind of couple-year buffer where you're figuring things out and you're doing wholesale changes to the team. But then there's, even with that, there's time for those players to really grab hold of that and then get the people around them as well. I mean, my first couple of years with the Wiz and Sporting, we were a non-playoff team with losing records. And then that group came together to do incredible things, obviously. But people, I think, sometimes assume that it's going to happen right away. And
yeah,
that's just not the case. So in the games that I watched, I see what you're seeing from an outsider as well. You see some younger guys who are kind of grabbing hold of those spots and making a difference. And it's a work in progress. It's not going to happen overnight. So it's fun to see.
Yeah,
they had their moments. I got to call the game, the home opener, and you see these stretches in the game where it's like that kid can play. And then they have another moment where maybe there's a little bit of a mistake or something. And I'm wondering, like, are those the types of things by playing, all of a sudden those mistakes start getting eliminated. And then all of a sudden you're talking about, because the margins are pretty thin, right? When you're trying to win an MLS game.
Yeah, absolutely. And the great thing in the U.S., you know, you can develop very, very well just because you don't have relegation in the league. So, you know, that's a plus for a lot of young guys here. And I'm not saying we have to go lose every game, but what I'm saying is that you have the opportunity to play some of the young guys. You have the Kansas City, you know, we're a small market team, but we have a lot of great players in the academy. The club just signed a couple of them. Some of them, if you saw starting lineup, there were at least five guys, you know, playing. And not only in us in Columbus, that's what America's shaping up to. And I'm very happy to see those guys succeed. You're not going to win every game, but you know, I think the tie this weekend is only a big positive for these guys, because now they're like, all right, we were able to keep up with these guys. Now we're playing a tougher team in the coming weekend. Let's see. I want to measure myself against those kids. Regardless of what the result is, they're going to go home and say, okay, this is what I need to work on. This is what I need to get to. And as a coach, you also try to see where you're at in that situation. And in the locker room, they get to build and they get to talk about it. And that's where the majority of the trust and culture starts. And that's where they're going to figure out what's best for the club.
Well, I got to say, though, you mentioned the young players like Croy coming in. When I'm watching the women's game in America right now, watching the women's national team or an NWSL, it blows my mind how good these young players are. Like, and I'm sure they've got room to grow, but it's like some of them just hit the ground and they're awesome. What's the development like on the women's side that's allowing these young players to be? It just seems like there's no shortage of them in women's soccer right now.
Yeah, I think the fascinating part too is Roger and I have had numerous conversations about this. And I think when I see it from a coaching lens, it almost allows me to be more understanding for the rookies and the young players coming in, because he'll always humble me and be like, you think you were who you are, like, day one. Mm. And immediately I'm like, no, okay, thank you for that. And now I can give them a little more grace. But I think what's fascinating is these young players are coming in with one or two things that they do so well, like unreal well. No one can compete with them in that. And then they just have to learn how, like, the physicality of the game and the speed of the game. And that's where they get the experience. But they're never going to get that experience if they don't play them. So going back to Sporting, like, I've enjoyed watching them the first two games of their new season with a new coach, but you, because you can see what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. You see the players are trying to execute it. And it's just so cool because I'm seeing the team through Roger's eyes as a coach, because I see him every single day plan the trainings, talk about these players, where they are, and seeing them do it on the field. I'm like, one, they're listening. Two, they're coachable. Three, they have raw talent. So this team is about to be so good. Like, I've really enjoyed watching those games. So that's compliment to you, back to my team. I think, you know, they, again, we are so clear on our principles, on our team, and the players coming in see, you know, returners do it, and they try and do that as well. So it's very easy to be successful and develop on his team, because a coach is going to sit with you, a player will sit with you, a player will tell you, it's, we want everyone to succeed and fit in the team. It's not trial and error, like you're out. It's trial, get better, do it again, repeat every single day, and we'll help pick you up at the end of the day.
One thing that from an outsider for both of these organizations right now, and having lived what we had at Sporting, one of the things that made us so good was the culture that we created. And I see that in your guys' group now. It's like so clear that there's just a amazing locker room. And then from top down in the organization, just they've set a precedent that to me is unmatched in men or women's sport right now. I want you to touch on the culture that you guys have created there. And then you guys are at a point where you're kind of trying to redefine a culture with this new regime that's come in. Regime might be a little strong of a word, but
fair.
But kind of a regroup from top to bottom. What has it been like creating or kind of coming up fresh with a brand new culture? Go ahead, Laura. Yeah. I'll let you start.
So for our team, right? They brought the team back to Kansas City in 21, I believe. Yeah, it was 21, and we didn't have what we have now, right? We didn't have the coach we had now. We didn't have any of the facilities. I think we're actually training at Swope, but just on the field. And then they put a trailer there. And then the next year, you know, we opened up the space in Riverside, but it was only the trailers were there. We were driving back to Swope to train there. Then we were going to like a community gym and then back to the field for meetings. So all that is where our culture started. Mm-hmm. And we made sure, and I think we're probably going off of Sporting because I knew how close you guys were. We started, it all starts with the locker room and also hanging out off the field, outside of the facilities. That's where you truly bond. And we also were playing on a baseball field, so we had that struggle to talk about. But then the next year, right, they build our facility. We make it to the final. The following year, they build our stadium and we break all these records. So it was both, right? Our culture was there keeping us together, but the investment was also there to bring us up to the next level. And so I'm like, what's coming now? Because, you know, they keep building things. And when I say they, it's the Longs, our owners, they keep investing. But it's, culture is when things aren't going great, your culture will keep you up and keep you together. And we've really harped on that. And, you know, we lost in the playoffs last year after winning the Shield and having a record season, but we stuck together. And we're really working to have just as good of a season. And we really, really want to lift that trophy at the end of the year. We're in CONCACAF this year. So we have so many things that we have to try and accomplish, and we're not going to do that without our culture.
I mean, I absolutely agree with that. If it doesn't matter what tactics, what principles you put on the field, if the guys in the locker room, I'm not saying you have to get along, you have to be best friends and everything, but if the culture in the locker room is not going well, you're not going to win games. It's just the bottom line. You have to get along. You have to be able to respect the other guy who calls you out for a certain play, a certain situation about the tactics you were just on the field. But if you respect that guy, and that's what we had. That's what we had. It didn't matter. At the end of the day, you got to understand that that guy is only trying to make you better. And right now, you know, we have a lot of young guys in the club. And I think what we were lucky is that we were in college. So we got to go to college. So we came, we were already 20, 21 years old. Right now you have a bunch of teenagers in the locker room. So how do you get these guys into a culture? Well, you either create leadership groups where they kind of talk about it, and you have the older guys. How can you guys bring these guys up? So put them as role models. And I think that changes a little bit. That's one way to go about it. And the club is working on that. But I think it's the same thing with you. You guys got a lot of young guys too, and they were able to build a culture. We were able to do it ourselves through that. But again, if you create a good culture, it doesn't matter what the tactics is, you're going to go out there and fight for each other. And that's exactly what we did.
To get back to, like, you know, the Kansas City element, because Lo, I think you really did a good job of illustrating what the journey has been like on the women's soccer side. I remember taking my kids to the FC Casey games when there was an incredibly good team with wonderful players there, but it didn't have that investment. So it didn't seem to resonate within the community like it is now with what you guys are doing. I remember when the Wizards won the double in 2000 and the celebration was outside Arrowhead Stadium, and it didn't really move the needle much. The lead columnist from the Kansas City Star didn't even know the game was going on. By the time you guys came around with the stadium, the investment, and the team, everybody seemed to get on board. Everybody seemed to understand, oh, wow, this is something special. This is exciting. That's what's happened with the Current too, which I think is so amazing. And it's a roadmap for the world in a lot of ways. You lived through it. And I guess the reason I want to ask that is because I think perspective is everything in life. The young kids walk into this place, they don't know the battles you had to fight to get there, right? You're glad they have it. But in a weird way, are you glad that you actually had to go through all the things you did? Do you enjoy it more? Does that make sense? Like appreciating what you have compared to where it was?
Absolutely. I was literally just going over this today. I had a meeting with Vlatko Ananovsky, and I was just like, I don't know why we were talking about the rookies. Probably because, I don't know, for you, you were always, Roger, telling me like you'd be in the locker room and you want to hear the young guys tell their stories, like when they were going out on the weekends. I feel like we're the same now. Like our rookie class, we're like, these girls are hilarious. Yeah, we're just like, they're so funny. I want to hear it. So maybe we were talking about how just funny and good human beings they are. But we were talking about when I first came here and the GM at the time was like, just be grateful that like I signed you. And I was like, sir, don't tell me to be grateful when I signed for a season for $10,000. That was my whole salary for the entire year. And you're telling me grateful? So now we talk to the rookies, because I also could have been cut. And I was my rookie year. I was cut and they didn't have to pay you. Like you got cut. You didn't get the rest of your paycheck. So I was like, all right, again, grateful there's guaranteed contract now for rookies. They have facilities. But if you come as a rookie to Kansas City and you end up going elsewhere, you don't realize how good you have it. Like, we've worked really hard to get to this point. I would say in the league right now, we have one of the best setups and the culture, and that's why people want to come here. And yeah, I wish I just entered now, because my contracts would be bigger, I would have more investment, I would be playing a lot longer. But yeah, that's probably why I haven't retired, is because it's just getting better and better each year.
Does it make you proud though? Like we're talking about the World Cup coming to town and these global behemoths, England, Argentina, the Netherlands coming. And the story is that for the Netherlands, a big part of the reason they were attracted is because they saw the investment in the game on the women's side here, and that was important to them. I guess, like, because let's be honest, most people that are coming here, they probably don't know much about Kansas City. And this is one of the big reasons they will know about it, is what you guys have accomplished. I guess if you could just speak to, with the world coming here, how does that make you feel?
I can't believe it. I think when it was the first announced, I was like, no way am I going to be playing in a host city for the World Cup. No way am I going to be living in a host city for the World Cup. I think it's the most fascinating thing that could have happened to a soccer lover, a soccer player. I'm beyond stoked. I'm plugging here, if anybody has tickets for me to make any of the games, please help me. but it's beyond my dream. Like, I never could have pictured this, and I think it's going to be the coolest thing.
It's amazing. Can't believe it either.
But you've played it, so you've been in a couple, but that's...
It would be nice if it was in America.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm happy it happened, but yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I got asked that question the other day. Is would you trade your experience of going somewhere else to play in a World Cup to have one in your own country? And I couldn't really answer it, to be honest. I think there's something really cool about, I mean, Brazil. It's like the country eats, breathes, and lives soccer. So it's you get that experience of being in a different country. But there would be something special about playing it in your
Yeah, but you see how those fans like embrace their nation. No, and
That would be the great part about it.
I think you guys did it right because you got to play in another country and witness it. And now you get to just enjoy it here, you know, while it's on your home turf. Sure. So on that note, before we say goodbye to Lo, we got a little trivia game we're going to play here. It's like the newlywed game a little bit. You know, we're gonna see how well these two know each other in their playing careers. You guys got the questions here. You ready to go, Roger?
Sure.
Okay, let's see. Let's see how you do.
All righty, the first question here. So I played in the MLS 15 years.
Damn.
I'm sorry.
How many red cards did I get my MLS career?
Well, only MLS.
Only MLS.
Okay.
But not that many after that and other stuff. I didn't get anything when I was in England, so. Just a couple yellow.
They don't give red cards in England.
Yeah, they don't. They don't. The referees
Before
are stronger.
Before you answer, just know that they called him Rojo Roger for a reason. So.
All righty. So A, 15. B, 13. C, 20.
20 is crazy. Crazy. With you, you never know. Probably total in your career, you have 20 easily. In your whole life, easily.
I don't know.
Yeah. All I know is your very first game, you got a red. Yes. You got suspended. Obviously, that's how reds work. You came back, got a red again.
Yes.
So there's easily two in your first in your first week. Yeah. But I think
so what's the average?
Yeah. I do think it's B, 13.
That is the 13 correct or 15. Answer. Yeah, 13. That's a record.
Yep.
Well
the
done.
Record, not the also MLS record the MLS for red record. Cards.
I mean, it's better than being the nicest person. Your career only lasts semi-guaranteed contract at that time.
You want to get the nicest person in the marriage department, not in the soccer department. Yes. You got the balance right. All right, what's question number two?
Wait, can I tell a fun story real quick about the red card? Do you remember my one red card?
I want to tell that story,
You want to tell it or you want me to tell it?
I'd rather you tell it. I'm really bad at telling stories.
So going back to our FC Casey days, right? There was like a rope around the field where people...
Swope Park.
Rope around the field. So that would keep people off the field, apparently. And Roger's literally sitting on a little like bench behind our bench because there wasn't much seating. And I get a yellow, whatever, keep playing. I get a second yellow because someone did a flip in the air. I didn't even touch her, whatever. Dives, flops. I get a second yellow. I'm looking at the ref like, are you kidding me? This is my first red ever, guys. Ever. And Roger just happens to be in the game. So mind you, at Swope, where do you go? Like, we drive to our games. We drive to our games. There's no locker room. There's a parking lot. And I'm walking to the bench because I'm like, I literally don't know where to go. I'm starting to tear up because I like we only play maybe 10, 12 games at that time in the season. I didn't want to be out of game. I literally start tearing up. I go to Vlatko like, what do I do? He gives me a hug. He's like, you got to go. And again, I'm like, where you guys?
To my car?
Where? Literally. I'm walking off like kind of tearing up and I just look back and Roger's just like laughing, pointing at me like, oh my God, this is so funny. You got a red card. And
zero sympathy.
Literally.
Really, he just paid off the ref so you guys can go get a drink.
I was probably already 10 cars in my career, so I was just like, this is normal.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
So I went to
she got one,
potty.
You got 13. Yeah. 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 Yeah, just hung out of the porta potty after that.
All righty, ready for question two? All right. How many World Cup matches did I play in? I played in 2 World Cups.
Yes.
So
I do know
South
that.
Africa and Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
So
how
is
many
it
in those
A,
two?
A, 3, B, 5, C, 4.
This one's tricky to me because I do know, I knew you played in 2. I'm assuming there's 3 games in group play. So I'm assuming you got a red card and didn't dress for one of them.
So 6 matches. We didn't go through to the next round.
Yeah.
So then
I'm assuming you got a red card for one of them and you're not. So I'm going to go with B5. Is that true?
That is correct.
Answer.
Did you get a red card in the World Cup?
No.
I was like,
she's just doing the average there.
It was a safe assumption.
Can you imagine? I would not be able to go back to my country.
I know. That's what I was thinking.
Did you just not dress for a game then? Or did you just not go in for one?
I didn't go in for one.
Oh, okay.
I didn't go in for in the first World Cup. I didn't. Oh. We were already eliminated. And so the third game.
It just lit up.
Nice. And then in Brazil, we had a possibility in the third game, so I played 3.
When did you get a red card, though? Was it against Brazil where they were the whole crowd was applauding you?
That was cool. In the Olympics. Yeah. That was in the Olympics.
Yes. That was in England.
Yes.
You won. I mean, that I remember watching that game because this guy won over the entire England fan base in that game.
Newcastle. It was in Newcastle.
Yeah.
And so we had played Newcastle. They obviously, a lot of the people in this world like to go for the underdogs. We were the underdogs in that area most of the tournament. And so the Newcastle fans just started supporting Honduras.
That's when they found out that you could do it on a cold night in Stoke City.
Yeah.
And that's when the call from Wigan came after that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And what was the chant for you over in England? It's like Raja, oh, Raja, Raja,
Raja, Raja, Raja, Raja, Raja Espinosa.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Sorry, alrighty. This is getting out of hand.
So you guessed all mine.
No, yeah. We have one more, right? You have question number 3.
Yeah, there's one more. There's
one more. 2 for 2.
I for sure know this one.
Okay, how many trophies did I win in my career? Bonus for which one means the most to me?
I don't see my name on one of those.
Trophy.
Yeah. The ultimate trophy.
All righty. Is it A, 5? Is it B, 7? Or C, 4?
I know you didn't win in college because you lost to... Who'd you lose to in the final?
Wake Forest. Great.
Did you get a red card that game?
No, should have though.
Can you imagine? And that's why he entered the draft.
my great friend Ike Opara beat me.
Yep.
So
I'm sure he's never reminded you of that.
I can't wait for him to move away from Kansas City, so I don't hear about it anymore.
Don't worry, I got him the next year.
Oh, there you go.
Nice.
Okay, so what's the answer then?
I do believe it's C4 because I know you have 3, which we love here at Sporting Kansas City as an Open Cup. I know you have 3 of those.
Yeah, you were part of one of those.
Yes,
you were already kind of talking there.
Yeah, that was the best celebration. That was so... Oh, we were sliding into.
Oh, I remember that celebration.
Yeah, you were there too.
I was there.
It was a throwback.
Yeah, throwback. Sliding into throwback. Man. What a time. So 3 of those, and we got to talk about the FA Cup win over Man City with Wigan. So I think you're 4.
Yes.
Sorry, it's actually 5 because I forgot me.
There you go, 5. So it was we'll just do those 2 right there.
The one that means the most to you was that you kind of threw that in at the end there. That's the,
yeah.
Now it has to be.
It's the 5th trophy there?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Which one is it though, actually? The FA Cup? Because I know you love your Open Cups.
I would say the first one because the first one gave me that hunger to try to fight for more.
Yeah.
But obviously the FA Cup is nice. But I just say first one started everything.
That was the one with the rainbow, you know, outside the stadium after the rain delay and everything. Yeah. That was amazing. Okay, so she's 3 for 3. Now now we find out, you know, if you can hang, Roger.
You
how well
know
do you
these
know
for
Lowe?
Sure, though. You've followed my career so well. Like, I wasn't even part of most of your career. You've followed my entire career. But let's go. How many assists do I have? Oh, wait, I don't even know if this one. How many assists do I have in my NWSL career? 7, 12, or 9.
See, this one is, I'm going to go with the highest here, just because you had a lot of assists. So I'm going to do...
I'm not Graham Zuzzi.
I'm going to do B.
12. We're going to just, whether it's right or not, I'm going to take it. Yeah, I have 12.
It's not?
No, I don't.
I'm looking at my sheet, says seven. Yeah,
yeah,
seven.
I have more goals than assists.
What's going on?
PKs, bro.
Yeah, but this little.
Yeah,
pass.
I know. I'm working on it.
Well, I meant to say she's going to get to 12 this year.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, yeah. All right. Get
some
Roger.
Of my bonuses.
Yeah.
God, so smooth.
All righty. Well.
All right. I scored a career high 8 goals and made NWSL best 11 in which season?
This one's easy because I was there. I was part of that. We talked every day. So I'm going to say 22.
Yep. 22, you were even. Son? He was even at the year dinner celebration, yeah. Like yeah. All the things. You're a part of that. You're at the final that year. Yeah.
So it was. Yeah.
Well done. Wow, you're crushing it too. Oh, well, the first one, you just really believed in me, so I appreciate
that. Yeah, that was a smart way to miss. That was a smart way to miss. Miss high. Yeah.
All right, last one. I'm tied with Megan Rapinoe for first all-time in converted regular penalties. How many do I have? 17, 12, or 14?
I think I know this answer because every time you went to do a PK, they kept giving the stats out. And, you know, usually when I was in the stadium, I couldn't see the stats. But when I was watching on TV, you score a few away so I could see there. So I'm going to say B, 12.
I was going to say Miss High again. No, I'm kidding. I think it's 12. Yeah. I think it's 12. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well done.
Two for three ain't bad. Two for three. I mean, you know, you guys know each other pretty well. It's like you're married or something. Lo, thank you so much for the time. I hope you had a good time. This was awesome. And you're part of Heart and Goal now. If you want to be one of the hosts of the show in the future, I know you're not anything else going on, so let us know.
Let's be unhinged for sure. No, thank you guys for having me. This is a blast.
That is Lo Labonta. We're going to do our five aside as we wrap things up on episode 5 of the Heart and Goal podcast. Okay, our thanks once again to Lo Labonta for being our guest on the show today. Now it's just the fellas to play five aside. Now, typically when we do the five aside draft, we do it in a way where if I pick something, then that means it's off the table for Graham and Roger. But this time around, since this was a bit of a romantic occasion having the married couple in here, we're going to do our top 5 date spots in Kansas City. And I'm afraid that could get a little personal because if Graham takes a place that I really want to take my wife on a date, I don't want to have to fight Graham Zusi right now. So we're going to say that everybody can have their own five and nothing's off the board, even if I pick something. So you guys ready to do this? Are you romantic enough to come up with 5 places to take somebody?
Five
on a
might
date?
Be tough for me, but right. I'll try.
Let's do okay. it. Let's All see.
Right. I'm going to start. I'm going to go first and I'm going to take the lawn of the Nelson Art Gallery. That's where I went on my second ever date with my wife. We took a picnic blanket and we sat outside on a beautiful spring night and had some sandwiches and enjoyed just the beautiful scenery of the lawn of the Nelson Art Gallery. So that's number one for me.
Good answer.
A date
good
spot
answer.
In yep. You don't have to spend free a lot restaurant, of money.
Free restaurant. You don't have to spend anything. Yeah,
absolutely. What do you got, Graham?
Oh, okay. So I will go with a new spot in town. Just went there last week for the first time and it was excellent, but a restaurant called Anjin.
Anjin.
Yeah. Japanese, restaurant, fantastic food, good drinks, really good vibe, super friendly and like very personable, staff. It was great. Everything about it was fantastic.
Hey, Suze, you know what? I'm not picking that one, but the next day after the next day, after you told me that night before, I went the next day.
Did you?
It's amazing.
What do you think? It's great.
Right? Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's great. Love Highly it. Recommend the Anjin.
That's a good it's tip. Good.
For me, let's see. There's a lot of them. I'm going to start first with Extra Virgin. I like going there. It's a very nice place, and it's close to my neighborhood. So I would say that's a place my wife and I go a lot.
You just picked my wife's favorite restaurant there, in town. Go. So pretty good call. Pretty good shout. Yeah. Michael Smith. He's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. We'll go back in the reverse order. So you get to pick first and second round.
Okay, cool. The next one would be, Zuz and I go there sometimes on dates. I go there with my wife too. I'm going to say Room 39. Room 39 on 39th Street.
Good like date spot. Maybe a little brunch.
Talk about life, see how things are going. It's great. It's amazing. Coffee, orange juice, breakfast. Doesn't matter what time of the day I go, it's going to be a breakfast order.
Yeah. No, Room 39 is fantastic. Okay. I'm going to shift from like a fancy dinner.
It doesn't have to be a restaurant. It can be anywhere.
I'm going
to
go for like the go get a drink in like a good burger kind of place. But I'm going to mention Varsity Club again. Varsity Club / Disco Burger. Just one of my go-to spots these days. They've got some really good cocktails. And then you just hang out on the patio and have a disco burger as well. Man, can't go wrong.
That's a good shout. I'm gonna go with the place right next to Extraversion in Farina. My wife and I love to go there. It's Michael Smith once again, one of the best chefs in the in the region. A little Italian food. I like the oyster bar there that they have, and I like the location. So I'm gonna go Farina. I guess I get to pick again then, since we're going back the other way. Right. So this is round three. Now we're going to tax ourselves a little bit here. A lot of the places I took my wife on dates originally when we met are not around anymore. So I'm going to have to think about this. I'm going to change it up a little bit, and I'm going to say a Sporting Kansas City game.
Ooh,
take a date to a Sporting KC game. Have a good time. You know, the games, you know, soccer, one of the great things about soccer, it takes 2 hours. You got time to go out afterwards, maybe have a drink or something like that. So I'm going to Sporting Kansas City game on a date.
See, I couldn't say that one to my wife.
Like, you can't get away with that.
We talk soccer all day. You gotta say.
Yeah. Okay, my turn. I'm going to take a little bit of a page out of your book, but I'm a super outdoorsy guy. So I like doing like an outdoorsy date as well, whether it's a hike and a picnic or... Actually, we'll stick with that because I'll save a version of that for my last pick. But I'm going to go with a hike and a picnic.
Where are you going? Where's the picnic?
It doesn't matter. Wyandotte Lake is
there. You go. Sticking you to that. A Wyandotte County.
It's kind
choice.
Of a hidden gem, man.
It's wonderful.
It's very quiet. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. They got some good trails out there.
That's a great shout. I wouldn't have picked. I'll go Wyandotte Lake. County Lake.
Yeah.
Nice.
Now you get two back-to-back, Roger.
I'm not going to go so wild yet. Okay. You know? For me, I'm going to say, so I got two, okay. So something we do almost once or twice a month, we go to Blue Sushi.
Mm.
Great place. We Wonderful. Go to the one on Woodside area. It's really good. Really good. Me and Lo love sushi and a little bit of drink. There's a wine place right next to it right there. I'm going to put in a package that we, if we have to wait in line, then we go to the little wine place. I forget the name. I'm sorry, guys. I should have. Next time I'll name drop you there. The other place would be, I love coffee. And when I lived in Westport, or even when I moved to Kansas City in 2008, I found this coffee shop and I never, ever stopped going there. Zeus, I don't know if I was the one who introduced Zeus there or he already knew
the place. From the spot.
It's amazing. It's a Broadway cafe. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's an amazing place. They've been around for...
Ever. Yeah. It's a historic
since
coffee
the 80s,
shop.
I think. And so it's amazing. So yeah.
Coffee shop's a great place for a date. Yep. You know, good conversation, all that. Okay, so that's fourth round pick. Now it's back to you.
All right, I'm going to go with a spot that's in my neighborhood. To me, one of the better restaurants in the city at the moment, a spot called Clay and Fire. Kind of a Turkish Middle Eastern style restaurant. But the thing that I love about it is it's just in an old house. So it still has like a living room and bedrooms where there are tables to sit, and they've got a great patio as well, but fantastic food, great kind of intimate spot for a date night.
I'll go for a restaurant this time around. And this is a personal one because, now that I'm doing this weekend travel with Major League Soccer, I'm out of town, you know, on Fridays and Saturdays, get home on Sunday. That's become date night for me and Kelly. And we go to a place that's kind of close to us called Bamboo Pennies. It's in Park Place. It's in in Leawood, and it's got like nice outdoor seating, and they usually have music outside and things like that. So it's just a great place to relax. They have a hibiscus cocktail that's really good, and so that's going to be my fourth pick. Bamboo Pennies, love it. And then for my fifth pick, I'm going back to a picnic spot.
Okay.
Loose Park. My Go wife, on. Every single Mother's Day since she became a mom, we have a picnic at Loose Park, and we go get sandwiches at the Planet Sub down by UMKC, and then go throw out a blanket. We walk around, we see the big rose garden, we feed the ducks, and then we call it a day. So Loose Park is my number five choice for a good date.
I like it. Okay, I'm going to go with one. You kind of stole it a little bit, but it's okay. We can,
yeah, we
can share.
We can share.
I'm going to add my twist to it, though. I enjoy going to the museums. I think the Nelson is a perfect one for this, but before you go and have a couple cocktails and get just a little tipsy, mm-hmm. and then go to the museums, and for whatever reason, it's just a little bit more fun for me doing that.
You could do the cocktails inside the museum, can't you?
I think you can.
Oh, really? There you go. Yeah. Right. Nice little cafe there. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, okay. Nate, I don't have any kids yet, so I don't need to save money like you and go into the park.
You can actually go to nice restaurants.
So I still get to go spend a little bit.
You don't have to worry about kids misbehaving at the dinner table, anything.
Yeah. I also love my Taco Tuesdays. And so I try to try many places around town, but this one is really good. Got to give a shout to my guy who owns it too. His name is Roger. Not this Roger. It's another Roger. It's at Torn Label. So the spot is inside Torn Label.
Okay.
And I don't know if they're owned like all together, but it's the taco place is owned by Roger there, and I like to go to have some tacos on Tuesday. So for me, it's an amazing place.
Tacos Valentina, right?
Yeah, Tacos Valentina. I'm sorry.
Inside of Torn Label.
Yeah. Tacos Valentina. Yes.
Some drinks and some tacos.
It's amazing. You don't have to have drinks. You can just go for the taco. The tacos are very good, but... Yeah. But
you can if you want to. That's an added feature.
It's a brewery, too, in there. Yeah. So you decide what you want to have. And there's some margaritas, too, if you want to have some of that.
But, how romantic. Valentino's tacos.
There you go. Yeah,
tacos. Well, Roger, that's our five aside for today. Take a look at our list. Maybe take some tips. Maybe tell us which ones you like, you don't like. Add your comments. Roger, first time hosting the show. What did you think, man?
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. I was telling you guys earlier, I love podcasts better because it's a conversation. It's not just going over question and you have to answer right there on the spot. It's just, you know, whatever comes around, memories that you have from the past. So I love the show and congrats. I mean, it's amazing to be part of it. And
keep it going.
Hopefully, you know, we get a lot of people following us and, you know, we're going to teach the game of soccer here too and our memories that we had over the years.
That's exactly right. That's what he said. We got to get the word out because this is a podcast for everybody. If you're interested even a little bit in the World Cup coming to Kansas City, this is the podcast for you. Our thanks to Lo Labonta for joining us today. Our hosts, Roger Espinoza, Graham Zusi, and myself. Make sure that you like your podcasts wherever you download them and get them. Subscribe, give the 5-star rating, write your congressman, write a review, do whatever you need to do to make sure everybody knows about the podcast. Watch the previous episodes and stay tuned because much more is coming your way on the Heart and Goal podcast.